All right, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 17, living differently from a corrupt world. It's important to understand the nature of man. If we don't understand who we are, if we don't diagnose the human condition properly, we will not look to the right solution for our problems, and we have problems. We will not go to the right source to get the help that we need, and we desperately need help. And we will not reach the amazing goal that can be reached. And we won't live the way we should live. Who are we? What is humanity like? Why are we able to think, feel, reason, will, choose, love, hate, care for others, yet hurt the ones we love? Why do human beings want peace and justice and find that peace and justice are so elusive and hard to achieve? Why aren't more human beings content? Why are we so often unhappy, disillusioned, depressed, bored, confused, at times suicidal? Why are there laws, police, courts, jails, militias, militaries, wars, crimes, terrorism, alarms, safes, locks, security codes, passwords, lie detector tests, psychiatrists, psychologists, mood stabilizing and mood enhancing drugs? Why can we be kind and cruel, wise and foolish, generous yet greedy, selfish and short-sighted? The Bible is the only book that adequately answers these questions about the nature of man, humanity, who we are. And here's what it tells us. Human beings were made by a personal, righteous, holy, perfect Creator God. They were made in His image with the essential elements of personhood, with mind, emotion, and will, with the amazing abilities to think, to feel, to reason, to choose. But the image of God was marred by the fall of man. In the beginning of human history, Adam and Eve joined the rebellion of the fallen angels. As a result, they were alienated from their Creator. After the fall, when they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, the later afternoon, instead of getting closer to God, they ran away from God and hid from God. Not only was the image of God marred and their relationship with the Creator ruined, but Adam and Eve's destiny was destroyed. They were not allowed to eat from the tree of life, and they were exiled from the delightful Garden of Eden. They were no longer headed towards life, but instead they were headed to death. The first death, physical death, followed by the even worse second death, Gehenna, hell, the lake of fire. The catastrophe that took place in Eden affected every aspect of the humanity of Adam and Eve. Their bodies, their souls, their wills, their minds, their emotions, their spirits, their relationship with God, their relationship to nature, later their relationship with other human beings, their destiny. Every aspect of who Adam and Eve were became damaged, broken, ruined, corrupted. What happened in Eden did not stay in Eden. As a result of the fall, sin, the sin nature, domination by the demons and death took control of humanity. That corruption of body, soul, will, mind, spirit, sexuality, relationship to others, relationship to God, relationship to nature, that loss of eternal life, all of it was passed on like a horrible disease, infecting all of their descendants, including you and me. But when we hear the good news, When we understand that Yeshua is the Messiah and the Son of God and the risen Savior, and we transfer our loyalties to Him and to His Father, the Father and the Son give us their Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives in us and joins us to the Father and to the Son and to the other members of the community of the Messiah. We become the honorable and glorious sons and daughters of God, princes and princesses, kings and queens of the King of Kings. We receive a new nature. We receive new power, power to live for God, power to resist sin, power to do what is right, power to serve God, power to declare the good news in a world that opposes us. We have a new orientation, new values, new priorities, living for God, not the world, living for God, not for self. Righteousness, doing what is right, becomes increasingly important to us. Holiness, purity, separation from anything that is wrong becomes important to us. The born-again, new-natured children of God can no longer live like the rest of a fallen, depraved, corrupt world. Rabbi Paul understood this very well, and he wanted to make sure that the members of Messiah's community in Ephesus also understood this very well. Ephesians chapter 4. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, the other peoples of the world, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding. They are separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardening of their hearts. According to great Rabbi Paul, the peoples of the world are darkened in their understanding. Their thoughts about the most important things, the reality of a personal God, the proper way to live, salvation, the means of salvation, the way of salvation, the possibility of eternal life, their thoughts about these most important things are wrong, chaotic, confused. Their thought life is futile, useless, ultimately completely ineffective. What we think about God is essential, crucial, vitally, life-savingly important. They are separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. If ignorance about God causes people to remain in the ruined state in which they are in, separated from the life of God, and therefore headed to hell, then the opposite is true. Knowledge, true knowledge, accurate knowledge about God can end that separation from the life of God and enable human beings to live forever with God in His glorious new universe. What we think about God is essential, crucial, life-savingly important. Why are the peoples of the world in this horrible condition? Darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God? Rabbi Paul says, because of the hardening of their hearts. Here's what's happening. The Creator is merciful, he is gracious, he is loving, he is forgiving. He is constantly trying to reveal saving truth to human beings so that they will turn to him and be rescued and redeemed. The truth is almost everywhere around us and is readily available to us. But most people harden their hearts. They do not want to know the truth. They do not want to embrace the truth. They do not want to end their part in the rebellion against God. They do not want to submit to God and his authority. They do not want to live according to his principles. The truth is everywhere around us. The problem is not the lack of truth. God has arranged things so that truth, knowledge, wisdom are easily accessible to us. That there is one God. That he is wise and powerful. That he is working with the chosen people. That the chosen people produced a divinely inspired book. That Yeshua is the Messiah and the Son of God and the only source of salvation. That we are to live righteous and holy lives. These things are accessible to human beings. If people will only seek, they will find. If they will only look, they will see. If they only open their ears, they will hear. If they only knock, the door will be open to them. But they don't want to. They don't seek. They don't search. They don't look. They don't listen. They don't hear. They don't knock because of the hardness of their hearts. In their innermost beings, at the very core of who they are, they do not want to get close to God and live according to the way the Creator wants them to live. Wise King Solomon described it this way. Out in the open, not hidden so that few have access, wisdom calls aloud. Not in a whisper, so only those close by can hear. She raises her voice in the public square, where many people are, so they can hear. On top of the wall, so that everyone can hear wisdom calling to them. Wisdom, which is like a beautiful, attractive woman. She cries out, crying out with passion, so that people will pay attention to her important message. At the city gate, which was the city center, Lady Wisdom makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Turn at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. You'll become wise. I will make known to you my teachings. But like Pharaoh, who hardened his heart and refused to listen to Moses, the vast majority of human beings harden their hearts and refuse to listen to wisdom, inviting them to become wise and know the true God and live according to his wise and beneficial principles. Not knowing or not caring that there is a personal creator God who is great and wise and holy and righteous results in futile thinking, useless thinking, ineffective thinking. Useless thinking results in corrupt living. You cannot separate theology from lifestyle. Having lost all sensitivity, Rabbi Paul writes, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. And They are full of greed. The Lord's divinely inspired representative characterizes fallen humanity as indulging all kinds of corrupt, sensual desires and being full of greed, never being satisfied, constantly desiring more and more material possessions. That cannot be us. The sons and daughters of the Holy God must live differently from a morally and spiritually corrupt world around them. So Rabbi Paul writes, "That, however, is not the way you learned when you heard about Messiah and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Yeshua. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Salvation means not only being forgiven for all of our sins, salvation also includes receiving a new nature. The old, corrupt, fallen nature is still there, but when we transfer our loyalties to the three-in-one God, yes, our sins are forgiven, yes, we are saved, but we also receive a whole new nature, a godly nature, a nature that is created to be like the nature of God, righteous and holy, a new nature that wants to do the right things and be separate from anything that is wrong. Paul wanted the Ephesians to diminish the old corrupt nature and enhance the new godly nature. How do we do that? We do that by feeding the new nature and starving the old nature. The old nature and the new nature are like two dogs who hate each other and are constantly fighting with each other. Do you know which dog will eventually win? The dog you feed the most. We feed the new nature with the attitude of our minds. By constantly reminding ourselves who God is, what He wants, what His standards are, reminding ourselves that He has given us His Spirit to empower us to live for Him. We feed the new nature by being part of Messiah's community, closely connected to Messiah's community for encouragement and strength. We feed the new nature by filling our minds with the Word of God, which teaches us. The old nature is like filthy rags. The new nature is like a beautiful new dress, beautiful new suit. We have been invited to live in the home of a magnificent king who lives in a glorious palace, a king who is beautifully dressed. Why wouldn't we take off the old filthy rags and put on a new beautiful dress or suit of the new nature to live in this beautiful palace with this magnificently dressed king. Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Next, the rabbi from Tarsus gives us some specific things not to do, that we can no longer do, things that are characteristic of the old nature that most of humanity is doing. And he tells us that we are to replace those corrupt behaviors and attitudes with new ways of living that are characteristic of the new godly nature. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, because we are all members of one body, one community. Most human beings lie routinely, frequently. Big lies, small lies, white lies, dark lies. Not telling the truth when they should tell the truth, which is a kind of lying. God is truth, absolute truth. He hates, he detests falsehood and lies. Lying displeases the God of truth. And lying causes harm and ruins relationships. There is hardly anything more destructive to a relationship than lying. Those who have been redeemed must not lie. We must speak the truth, especially to those in the community of salvation to whom we are united. We must not damage those relationships. We must be committed to putting off falsehood, putting on speaking the truth. Fallen human beings are not characterized by great inner peace. Inside most human beings lurks anger that is barely under control. Yielding to that inner rage causes us to harm others by saying or doing inappropriate and damaging things. We, in contrast to the world, must not give in to the anger that lurks within. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. In your anger, do not sin. There is a kind of righteous anger. Anger that is caused by injustice. When we see something really unjust taking place, we should get angry. And it should motivate us to want to do something to end that injustice. That kind of anger is okay, since it can motivate us to correct an injustice. But even righteous anger needs to be controlled. Anger that gets out of control results in saying and doing inappropriate things that harm others, things that we later regret. In your anger, do not sin. There are ways to learn how to control anger. Not get rid of it completely, but to control it. Learn how to control your anger. And if at all possible, try to resolve the situation you are angry about before the day is over. Rabbi Paul says, do not go to sleep angry, especially with a close family member, especially with your husband or wife. Work out your problems before you go to bed at the end of the day. This is a principle that Martha and I tried to implement early in our marriage. And yes, there are occasions when Martha and I get angry at each other. But we have resolved to implement this teaching from the Word of God and not to go to sleep while we are still angry. And I think in more than 35 years of marriage, I think there's only been a couple nights where we have not been able to work out our problems before we go to bed. Deal with the cause of your anger in a productive way. Unresolved anger gives the devil, the adversary, a foothold, a place in our lives to stand and further attack and cause even more damage. Unresolved anger gives the enemy a foothold. Deal with the cause of your anger in a productive way. If given the opportunity, most human beings will steal. They will take things that belong to someone else and then justify to themselves why it's okay. We cannot be like that. Anyone, Rabbi Paul writes, who has been stealing must steal no longer. He must do the opposite. He must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. God is honest, completely honest, perfectly honest. And he is by nature a giver, not a taker. We need to be like him, givers, not takers. We must not steal. We must not take that which belongs to others. In fact, the Lord demands that we do the opposite. We need to have a job, to work, to store up a little bit of extra to give to those who are in real need. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, must work, that they may have something to give to those in need. Fallen human beings often say stupid, inappropriate, crude, rude things. We cannot be like that. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. As you read the Bible, you will discover that God uses words sparingly and wisely and appropriately. And that's how we're to use words. We are to speak good words, wholesome words, beneficial words, helpful words, words that build up and benefit others, which is so different from much of the language in our popular culture today. Fallen human beings grieve God much of the time, maybe all of the time. It's possible for the sons and daughters of God to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But we do not want to do that. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is a person without a body, but a person nonetheless. We know this from this verse, because you cannot grieve an impersonal force. You cannot grieve electricity or nuclear power. You can only grieve a person. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He's a person. And this holy person seals us for the day of redemption. When someone seals something, it shows their ownership of that thing or their authority over that thing. Since the Holy Spirit of God seals us, it means that He owns us and has authority over us. And if He owns us and we are precious to Him, won't He take care of us and protect us? When something is sealed, it means that it will be delivered to the goal untampered with, unless someone else dares to break that seal. Well, we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of the all-powerful, all-knowing God. And there is no power in the universe that is able to break His seal. That means we will be delivered safely to the goal that God has for us, eternal life in the New Jerusalem as the glorious children of God, because we are protected by the Spirit of the Almighty and All-Wise God, and there is no power in the universe who can overpower or outmaneuver Him. Well, this is fantastic. This is amazing. When someone does something exceptionally good for you, your natural tendency is to want to do something good for him, to please him in return. You certainly don't want to grieve him. Why would we want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God who does such a tremendous thing for us, sealing us for the day of redemption? The day, the time when we are completely free from any hold of the satanic slave market of sin and death, completely set free from sin and death. How do we grieve this holy person, the Holy Spirit of God? By not being good persons ourselves. By being unholy, by being ungodly, by being unspiritual, by not allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us and teach us and guide us and transform us and empower us to resist sin and empower us to build up the community, and empower us to proclaim the good news to those outside the community of salvation. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Fallen human beings are characterized by emotions, attitudes, and actions that prevent them from getting along with each other. We are not to be like that. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice, intense dislike, hatred. We are to replace bitterness, rage, and anger, fighting and slander with their opposites. Be kind. Be compassionate to one another. Forgiving each other, just as in Messiah, God forgave you. How do we replace bitterness, rage, anger, fighting, slander with kindness, compassion, forgiveness? We recognize that anger, rage, bitterness, fighting, slander are wrong. We get close to God. We stay close to God so we can keep any feelings of resentment and anger and bitterness under control and not give in to any rage we might be feeling. We meditate on love and forgiveness. Think about that a lot. Using the life of Messiah as our example. We think about his life, focusing on his love and forgiveness a lot. We think about his teachings on love and forgiveness, and there are a lot of teachings on love and forgiveness that Messiah gave us. We think about how much we have sinned and how much God has forgiven us. That helps put the sin of others against us into perspective. We make a commitment to be kind and compassionate and forgiving individuals. We pray that God would help us to be kinder and more compassionate, more gracious, more forgiving. We must not live the same as a corrupt world. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, the peoples from the other nations, in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding. They are separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Messiah and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Messiah. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we're all members of one community. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Messiah God forgave you. May the Lord enable all of us throughout 2014 and beyond to live very differently from a corrupt and deceived world. Amen. Please stand. Let's continue with our tefillot, our prayers.